Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And Sam Abel is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Always joins us the day after the city council meetings in Gulf Breeze. Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Hey, missed seeing you at the Taste of Gulf Breeze. It was a fabulous event. I kind of like the indoor and the fact that there were 100,000 dessert vendors there was great. So it's always a good event.
Well, you know, we are nothing if not adaptable. So
yeah,
the first time we see a cloud, it's just it's another reason to, you know, reinvent the party all over again. So we've been hearing great reviews on having it inside, and I'm sure the Chamber of Commerce will be looking at maybe repeating that next year.
You know what? It's the oddest little thing, but the best advantage of indoor was there was a lot more seating and table space to actually eat your food at. Instead of the milling about problem of how do I hold all of this and also, you know, so it was actually, anyway, it was good. It was really good. Hey, I wanted to ask you about what seems like a fairly innocuous, you know, the agenda. There wasn't a lot of stuff on the agenda. Renewing the red light cameras was one of the things, which I assume you did. Renewed the red light camera.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No surprise. That's not changing anytime soon. But there was an item on the agenda that said, authorize education efforts relating to the disposition of wastewater within the wellfield protection area. And, you know, when you click on the item, and I thought this is interesting, we're going to teach the public about wastewater. And, of course, it's all about Milton and their proposed discharge of the effluent from what currently goes into the Blackwater River in order to comply with FDEP regulations to get it out of the Blackwater River. They're going to discharge it into these spray fields. Well, the spray fields are at least somewhat in the wellfield protection area. And you have this whole long memo, 6 pages of explanation. Why this item? What are you wanting people to know? Your chance to talk, Sam Abel, go.
Okay. So my memo is 2 pages long. The attachments from the Florida Department of Environmental Protection Agency actually include a letter from Randy Jorgensen, the city manager of Milton, back on April 30th. And what he states at that time is that in response to letters written by to EPA and DEP by East Milton Water System and Midway Water System, the city of Milton tested its wastewater and finds, and I'm quoting here, that there were undetectable EP or no PFAS chemicals. They were undetectable from above EPA standards. The Milton Wastewater Treatment Plant effluent discharge or the Appaloosa well, again, were below EPA standards. And so this is what the city of Milton provided to the EPA and DEP and copied the Fairpoint Regional Utility System Board.
Okay.
Andrew, as you know, the FRUS board is comprised of the 3 utility providers for all drinking water in South Santa Rosa County. So we see this letter that the city of Milton has tested its sampling and found no PFAS. And Andrew, as you know, the public is waking up to per- and polyfluoroalkali substances. Specifically, as a military community,
right,
you know, we have heightened awareness because with the foam that is a fire retardant that's been used by airports and military bases for fire suppression for years, we're finding that this is a forever chemical. It's actually a group of forever chemicals that are, you know, extremely toxic, and it causes a wealth of issues. Cancer and such, men in particular,
right,
are sensitive to PFAS because of their reproductive system. And so this is an issue military bases across the country are now having to grapple with.
Oh, yeah. No,
so this
for
is
sure.
A concern. Oh, yes. This was a concern. This was the response from Milton. And then FRUS received a letter from DEP that, in fact, states that, you know, the city of Milton, we want to make you aware that there is a calculation error in your own sampling results. Your sampling results present the information in micrograms versus nanograms, which is the EPA standard. And in fact, there is one well that has PFAS 35 times higher than EPA's limit for safe standard, 35 times higher than what is safe for drinking.
Okay.
And then another well is 11 times higher. The reason why this is a concern, of course, we're talking about wastewater, but we're also talking about a system that was discharging reclaim when PFAS wasn't, you know, a conversation, into Blackwater River, and the city is under a mandate to stop discharging reclaim into Blackwater River because it is not safe. And so now the plan is to discharge.
I thought the Blackwater River discharge issue had everything to do with saltwater intrusion and wasn't related to PFAS. Am I wrong about that?
It wasn't related to PFAS because that wasn't part of the conversation.
Right.
It was related to reclaim. Just straight reclaim was not suitable to be discharged into Blackwater River. So, Andrew, you told me to give the cliff version.
Oh, no, I know it's a long time. Yeah, actually, let me pause you there, Sam, because I want to get to the, you know, why this is going to matter to people and why you guys are doing this educational program about it, which is, we never have enough time to do all of this. It's complicated stuff. But John Pickens has traffic on the fives first. John?
That's right. No delays, no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sam Abel. So, The city of Milton said that we don't have any detectable PFAS. The clarification was you were giving the wrong increment measure. And now, as I understand the conversation, is that Milton is saying, look, when we change from discharging into the Blackwater, when we put it into the spray fields, and then when we build the new wastewater treatment plant and discharge into the spray fields, it's okay to do it over the well field protection area because there's no standard on effluent treatment levels that we're violating because there's no standard yet on effluent treatment values. And it's allowed under the wellfield protection area ordinances. In fact, the county of Milton is already planning to do that with their wastewater treatment plant for the industrial park that they're creating. But it sounds like your letter is trying to educate people that maybe that's not the best approach. Am I summarizing right? Am I getting this to where we need to go?
Well, let me quote Councilman J.B. Schluter, who will be our next mayor. He was uncontested. He said last night, where is the common sense? Where is the logic? Do you have to wait on a bureaucratic environmental agency to tell you to do the right thing? Or do you hold yourself accountable from the time that the information is made known? This is the situation that the Fairpoint Regional Utility System finds itself in. The board wants to hold itself accountable because now we know. It isn't just concerns. Now we have the information. And what we know is that it isn't just a matter of discharging reclaim. When the city of Milton went to Santa Rosa County and asked the 100 acres be donated, the Pensacola News Journal reported at the time, quoted directly, that the plan was to discharge reclaim a portion inside the welfare protection area because, and I quote, that it would commingle with the millions of gallons underground for dilution. This was the very plan. But now you know that there are forever chemicals that weren't factored in when that decision was made years ago. So where we're going with this, Andrew, is the Fairpoint Regional Utility System hasn't until now proffered any type of public education or opinion on the matter. The board just met. We agreed to take back to our respective boards, including the mayor and council, a request for authorization to engage in this education leading up to a December 3rd meeting of the Restore Council. The Restore Council is the council who is in charge of finding environmental restoration projects to fund with BP oil spill money,
okay,
of which $6.7 million is going to fund this plant that will be discharging forever chemicals within the wellfield protection area. So the Restore Council asked Milton to give an update at the last meeting. The city of Milton said there's only a sliver inside the wellfield protection area and pointed to the fact that the plans had been permitted by DEP. And so now we know that, well, the reason why the plans were permitted is because there is no standard for PFAS on wastewater.
Right.
But no one presumes that you would be drinking wastewater. You know, there's no presumption that any community would take wastewater that where you have knowingly sampled it. You know that the PFAS is 35 times higher than drinking water safe standards, and you're discharging it directly into your wellhead area. So that's where we are now. No, the government isn't telling you that you shouldn't. What we understand is Milton's position is, well, when the government says we shouldn't, then we'll change. And so the question that the FRUS board has is, well, we understand that carbon filters work. We understand that there's more than one option available to improve design. We want to be reasonable. We're seeking to understand. And we're going to ask those questions to see how we can assist to make sure that drinking water remains safe for future generations in South Santa Rosa County. And we hope to get those answers prior to the Restore Council in December. Maybe we can roll up our sleeves and all work on problem solving together.
If I'm listening to this, and I am, as a citizen who lives in Santa Rosa County, what I hear you saying is that FRUS has made the decision that they believe there's reason to be concerned about discharging any PFAS level into the wellfield protection area. And something should be done by Milton, basically, to find another place to discharge that effluent into, because it doesn't make sense to put it over the drinking water source for the entire county. I mean, I know that's a like boiled down, simplified version, but is that basically what you're saying?
No, FRUS is not putting forward a recommendation. We're asking questions. We're educating, first of all. Here's what the issue is. Does everyone know about this letter from the DEP? Because we received the letter on August 8th. Our board just met to discuss it in September. So does the public, are we all aware of what this new issue is, number one?
Okay.
Then number two, our understanding, my layman's understanding, I'm not an engineer, I'm a city manager, is that there are improvements that can be made in order, such as carbon filters, that can be made in order to ensure that PFAS is not discharged. In fact, when you talked about Santa Rosa County is also building a package plant, a small plant there at the industrial park. Well, the reason why they're doing that is so that they'll never be put in a situation where they have to turn away jobs at the industrial park.
Right.
Because the city of Milton places a moratorium over future growth because they don't have capacity.
Right.
So
right.
It's about redundancy, which is a best practice. We're all on board with that. But that project is still under design, and the county commissioners have said any design will include the appropriate safeguards to make sure that there's no PFAS discharge.
Okay,
we've heard that from Shannon Ogletree and from Commissioner Colton Wright. That's what I think. Ultimately, we're all trying to be reasonable. We're seeking to understand now with this letter. So we're not saying move your plants. We're not saying anything drastic. What we're saying is now, wait a minute. What we hear from your meetings is that you're not going to make any changes until the EPA requires you to do so. But meanwhile, you now are proposing publicly to discharge a known PFAS source 35 times higher than safe drinking standards into the welfare protection area, where it is, the whole proposal was that it mingle with the millions of gallons underwater. Andrew, once those forever chemicals are in your drinking water, it is extremely hard, almost impossible to remove them. So let's all be proactive. Let's work together. We are not trying to create win-lose scenarios, but we're trying to say, especially before we get to the Restore Council, are there ways that we can all work together to think of what's best for the entire county and solve these issues?
Okay, so I think I hear it all, and I'm, you know, obviously a lot of these solutions are going to cost money, but the question is, what can we do? What's available to do? Does it need to be done? Should we do it before it's required to be done that way? And let's make sure that we have a conversation before we get too far down any given path, which all of that makes sense to me. So that's why I want to talk about this, because I think it's very interesting that your council has voted to go forward with this education campaign, and then how this is going to interact with, you know, South Santa Rosa, with Milton, with the wastewater treatment plant, which has been an unending topic of discussion, particularly now on this subject of the PFAS. Sam Abel, thank you so much for the perspective and the background and taking some time to explain all this, because I know people have been hearing some, and I want, you know, and they're going to now be hearing more as well. But thank you for bringing the education level up. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 824 on News Radio 92.3. I will try to get more information for you as well, because this has been a really... you know, if you live in Escambia County, you might think, what does that have to do with me? I get it, but we serve two counties. If you live in Santa Rosa County, there should be no doubt what this might have to do with you, because is it actually a threat to the water source? Is it not a threat to the water source? Are the fears exaggerated? Are the same levels of these chemicals in other things, like it's been mentioned, whether rainwater has contaminants in it? So there's been a lot of conversation around this, and that's why I wanted to spend some extra time with Sam this morning, because the city of Milton and FRUS are asking more pointed questions about this now. 825 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
I'm not seeing any accidents right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Also, if you're headed from Pace into Milton via Highway 90, there's no backups there either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, speaking of water and wastewater, you know, if you have a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in your wall, or, in, you know, when you flush the toilet, or the temperature or the pressure of the water is not good, these are all things that Barbary Plumbing might have the ability to help you with. I mean, they can't necessarily fix everything, but they can fix a lot of stuff. Sure. And they'll tell you how much it's going to be before they do the work. That's flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes, including fixing mistakes that might be made by people like, I don't know, radio hosts who mess up their own plumbing. 477, they were great. 477-8782. For Barbary Plumbing.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
For some of us, it's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Thursday at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
It's their time. Their time. Up there. Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Good morning, 8:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you have an import, you've got a Lexus, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a BMW, a Genesis, a Audi, a Jaguar, and you want to get it serviced because you need to get it serviced because it's a car, you can take it to the dealership. I mean, that's fine, but often that is more expensive, at a distance, takes your time, takes your gas. You may have the special joy of driving to Mobile across the Bayway. Yay. Maybe you want to avoid. So go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They take care of those cars all the time. Same for your domestics, your Ford, your Chevy, your GM, your Dodge. No worries. They work on those cars. Trucks, diesel, or gas, either one. Something that maybe not everybody works on as eagerly, but they They'll work on all of that. Bobby Likas Auto Service, like a healthcare clinic for your car, is the idea. They want to see you a little bit more often so that you don't have to see them for the big catastrophe that causes you major inconvenience. Located on Davis Highway in the classic location, or now on US 29 across from the Walmart in their newest location. And they do fleet service. So if you oversee a group of cars, they do GSA fleet, mechanics fleet, or sorry, merchants fleet, Cox Automotive, Fleetio, Donlin Enterprise, and others. So if you oversee a group of cars, they can work with you. They do that. Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway or US 29. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, one of the unintended consequences of Hurricane Helene, production is now stopped at one of the biggest manufacturers of IV bags in the United States. Officials in Baxter, North Carolina, say the facility that generates over a million IV bags a day has been shut down.
Wow.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Millions on the west coast of Florida are warned this is the last day to prepare for Hurricane Milton and get somewhere safe.
10 to 15 feet peak storm surge is forecast.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
Forecasts do call for it to weaken before it gets to landfall, and maybe that's true. Let's hope it's true. Maybe it's not, but even if it does weaken, you're still looking at a major hurricane.
Landfall is expected late tomorrow, early Thursday. Vice President Kamala Harris is asked how she'll pay for her economic plans, interviewed by CBS 60 Minutes correspondent Bill Whitaker.
We're dealing with the real world here.
But the real world includes...
How are you going to get this through Congress?
You know, when you talk quietly with a lot of folks in Congress, they know exactly what I'm talking about because their constituents know exactly what I'm talking about.
Former President Trump said no to an interview for the show's election special. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got a beautiful Tuesday morning, 70 degrees right now in Pensacola. Two family pets were rescued. This is after a house fire on Edgemont Drive last night. Escambia Fire Rescue says firefighters responded about a quarter after eight last night. Firefighters do say there was nobody injured in the fire, but there were two family pets trapped inside of the home. Both of those pets, though, rescued and were in good health when they were saved. Right now, there's no word on damage or what caused the fire. An investigation is ongoing. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says a man was shot last night on Pensacola Beach. That happened about 10:30 at Via De Luna Drive and Fort Pickens Road. The man was flown to a hospital. Right now, there's no word on his condition, but investigators say the shooting did stem from a domestic-related incident. The victim's wife was being questioned, and investigation continues. Hurricane Milton still heading towards Florida. Benji Heyer with more.
Milton is expected to make landfall in Florida by Wednesday night, hitting major population centers including Tampa and Orlando. Florida's officials are preparing for the largest evacuation there since 2017 when Hurricane Irma slammed into the state.
And in the latest update from the National Hurricane Center, Milton was classified as a Category 4 storm with winds of 155 miles an hour, just shy of a Cat 5, which it was yesterday with the winds at its peak, clocked at 180 miles per hour. That storm will likely intensify again today. FHP looking for a driver in a vehicle involved in a pedestrian crash on Detroit Boulevard yesterday. Troopers say a 70-year-old man was in the eastbound lane of Detroit Boulevard near Sharon Lane when he was hit by a vehicle and killed. That vehicle left the scene. The pedestrian died, and FHP says the vehicle would have damage to its front left side. If you have any information, contact the Florida Highway Patrol or call Crime Stoppers. High-tech cameras are now catching drivers that pass stopped school buses all around the area. Since March, Santa Rosa County has seen thousands of these violations. It averages out to about 25 illegal bus passings a day.
You know, and people get impatient because they're on a two-lane road or whatever, and the bus has to make five or six stops, and they just can't stand it. But, you know, you kill a kid, your timetable will definitely change, and it will not be for the better.
And that is Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. In Escambia County, the reported number of those incidents is a little bit less. They only received about 200 calls about the violations. Both districts are using those cameras now, though, to monitor the problem. And Escambia County holding a bus driver training day next week on what is and what is not considered to be an illegal passing. Former President Trump marking the one-year anniversary of the Hamas attacks yesterday. He made a pair of appearances to express solidarity with the Jewish people.
October 7th was not just the deadliest day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust. It was not just the worst terror attack since 9/11. It was an attack on humanity itself.
And he then traveled to a property in Miami for a remembrance event and condemned the rise of anti-Semitism in the weeks that followed those attacks. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast Burrito. Wendy's Bacon or Sausage Breakfast Burrito is everything you want, all rolled up into a warm tortilla. If it's a full-blown breakfast, got to be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's. Not seeing any accidents on the big board right now. I-10, I-110 actually flowing good, even through the construction zones. Everything looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Well, thank you very much, John. Now you got me thinking about breakfast burritos. This hunger. It's 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine today with temperatures warming up near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Wednesday, another sunny day with a high near 85. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. For Thursday, more sunshine, high near 82, low near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you, Brooke. 70 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 72 in Milton. And your money now this morning. We do have a mixed start at the opening bell. The Dow is down just under 9 points, 41,945. S&P up 22 points at 57,18. The NASDAQ up 106 points at 1830. And FTX's bankruptcy plan received court approval this week. The move means that the collapsed cryptocurrency exchange should soon begin paying out $16.5 billion in refunds to its customers. Panera Bread has settled a wrongful death lawsuit over a super caffeinated charged lemonade drink with the family of a University of Pennsylvania student.
21-year-old Sarah Katz of Jersey City, who attended UPenn, had a heart condition and died after drinking the charged lemonade. She knew to avoid caffeine, but her parents say she had no idea that the lemonade was risky. It contained 155 to 300 milligrams of caffeine, compared to 95 in a typical cup of coffee. Sarah Katz suffered cardiac arrest and died. Panera has since pulled charged lemonade from its drink lineup. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Thank you very much, Sarah. And Comcast revealing a data breach that may have affected 230,000 of its customers in Maine. A filing with Maine's attorney general said it involves an incident with a debt collection agency that the telecommunications company used. It's 8:37. Our next news at 9. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Everywhere you look, things are getting more expensive. So at Consumer Cellular, we're lowering the price for those 50 and up. Now you can get unlimited talk, text, and data for $30 a line when you buy two. That's just $60 a month for two unlimited lines. So if you're 50 and up, make the switch and save. Come on, you've earned this. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today. Requires two lines of service, age validation, and credit approval subject to system and area limits, taxes, and other fees apply.
Serving overseas was just the beginning.
We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, I have a sports-related question for you here, John. I know you'll have an opinion about this. I'm going to give you two scenarios to pick from, okay. And you tell me which of these scenarios you'd rather have. In scenario number one, your team, let's say it's Ole Miss in your case, okay, wins in an utter blowout that is completely boring except for the fact that your team won. In scenario number two, you have a thrilling game. It's back and forth. There's scoring. There's defense. There's crazy stuff happening. And in the end, your team loses close. Which game would you rather watch?
Well,
4-3-7-16.
Are you trying to say that's the exact scenario that happened with the Ole Miss Kentucky game that I attended?
4-3-7-16-20. Would you rather have a fascinating and dramatic lose, or would you rather have a boring blowout win? 4-3-7-16-20. That's my question for the day. There is a third category we'll get to in a minute, but go on.
A boring win.
Really?
Yes.
Why do you watch sports?
Because I like it.
But what do you get out of it when it's a boring blowout? Yes, there's no joy in that.
If I know that I'm going to lose like we did in Kentucky versus Ole Miss, I mean, I was just down.
But isn't the losing part of what makes the winning so satisfying? And aren't great losses as big a part of your, sports memory and
they are.
Character?
I was just messing with you. The scenario just...
You just don't want to think about how much you appreciate the fact that you barely lost that game.
Right.
So that's my serious question. As a fan, okay, I'm more of a baseball fan than I am a football fan, yeah. But I'm a football fan too. The only challenge in football is I don't have as much investment I'm an Auburn fan, but that's adopted. Okay. I'm an Illinois fan, but I don't admit it in public. I'm a Lions fan, but that comes and goes just cause I was born in that area. But for baseball, I mean, it's nice to win 7-0 in a baseball game, and it sucks to lose 7-8, but man, a 7-8 game is fun.
Or
it's
walk
thrilling.
Off in the
it's
ninth.
It's scary.
You know?
Anything can happen at any moment, and every pitch matters. You're sitting there on the edge of your seat, and I think that's why you watch sports. You don't watch sports to be able to go like, check. that was a blowout. You watch sports because of the drama and the thrill, and there is no thrill in a blowout. It's just like, yeah, we won that. Whatever. 4-3-7-16-20. So I'm just curious what people think about this because, there is a third scenario.
Oh,
and I am kind of curious. I'm just one more before we go to the text. Would you rather have a blowout win or a really scary win?
Oh,
see, you'd obviously rather have a scary win than a scary loss.
Right.
Okay. Those are the best. But would you rather have a scary win where you're like nervous the whole time and sweating bullets and losing weight, would you rather have the blowout win?
No, I'd much rather have the scary loss, just like the Dolphins actually won
this
past weekend, and it was 15-10, and we didn't know.
Yeah, scary ones are fun.
It kept me on the edge of my
seat. And satisfying in a way that the blowout is never satisfying.
Right, if your team wins.
But the stress is hard.
Yes, it is.
4-3-7-16-20. All right, let's see. Somebody here says, my good friend John Hutchinson, who fills in for me sometimes, says, I would rather have a blowout. I'm just not seeing it. Somebody says, this is a boring question. LOL. It's a blowout question. Let's see. What do you get out of boring blowouts? A championship eventually. No, but that's, you know,
I think where I was going with it. Yeah.
But I do think that a lot of times about the big, you know, bowl games or, you know, like the World Series or stuff. It's like, it's just, I want the drama, which is also, but that's a question for a different day is, I would rather watch a game that's thrilling, even if we're going to lose, than just find out that this is a blowout win that you got. The result, like, give me the, it's not. I'm into the process. I'm into the drama of it. That's why I like sports, not just because of the outcome. Somebody says, my team wins. That's what I want. Somebody says, as a Chicago Bears fan, I'll take the blowout win over a close loss because I'm so used to the close losses. Somebody says, I want my baseball team to score 10 runs in the first inning and then slowly pull further ahead. Oh, I believe that there was a Cardinals-Braves game that fit that description a couple of years ago, although it was the Cardinals who scored the 10 in the top of the first inning. John Pickens has traffic on the 5. Sorry, Braves fans, but it's just a fact. Look it up. and I had a friend of mine, the principal at my son's school, was a Braves fan. We used to joke with each other all the time. I texted him in the middle of that, and he's like, well, thanks for saving me having to watch the game.
Thanks, Andrew. We've got an accident that just happened on Navarre Parkway in Newport Street. That's a vehicle crash with roadblock. So it's going to affect you on 98, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get somebody who's got a lot of experience so they really know how to solve the problems that come up because they've solved them before, how to get to the closing because there's bumps here and challenges there because they've proven in a track record they've done it before, or even, and you might not think about this, but, you know, there are a lot of real estate agents that sell, you know, maybe a home or two a year. This is not uncommon. Like half of real estate agents sell, you know, only a handful or less every single year. And people are selling fewer these days because the market's a little bit slower. But when you do that, your muscle memory isn't very good, right? Your real knowledge of what's happening in the market isn't as good. On the other hand, like Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they sold 175 homes last year. And as of about a month ago, they'd sold 122 this year, which means they do it a lot. So they know what's normal. They've encountered the situation. They've handled the objection. They've fixed the problem. And even when it's things like, how, you know, should you be willing to replace the roof on a home you're selling? Should you ask for them to replace the water heater on a home you're buying? Like those kinds of things, that's becoming normal. But knowing what is normal or not is the kind of thing you want a good real estate agent for. So that's the experience, or that's the value that experience and lots of iterations brings to you. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Back to the text. My question of the day is, would you rather have your team win a blowout victory or lose a terrible, you know, nail-biters, dramatic game? I don't want to lose, but I would rather have the close loss. Because it's fun. Because it's interesting. Now, when it's Game 7 of the World Series, I might take the blowout victory. Because it's Game 7.
And that's what I thought.
Because it's nice to win the World Series. But honestly, I don't know. 7 games in a World Series where they're all tight games as opposed to 4 blowouts and you just sweep it. And it's not fun for that long. That's fun, don't get me wrong, but it's not fun for that long. Somebody says, as an Alabama fan, 437-1620, I would rather, I like the close game, it's good for you. Right. Of course, that's speaking from Alabama fans who often just have the blowout victories. A blowout is like a predictable movie, somebody says. Agreed. Somebody here says, I'd rather mow my grass. It's an objection to the topic, I think.
You can come to my house.
Okay. Yeah, you can, go to John's house and mow the grass while he watches Ole Miss lose. Win. A boring blowout, you leave the game early and return to tailgating and eating and drinking with your friends. That's true. I want a nail biter as long as I win. And by the way, I am the kind of person that I will typically wait all the way through the game, especially in baseball where there's no time limit to anything can happen, but football too, because football is a little bit more of it's unwinnable at this point, you know. But I've seen things in baseball, you know, where you can't expect that's going to happen, and then it does. And those are so thrilling. And they're even thrilling when they don't pan out. You know, when the bases are loaded and you're down two in the ninth inning and you've got, you know, that's exciting in a way that a 7-1 victory is just kind of, well, I guess we got to win. 849 on News Radio 92.3. So enjoy the drama. It's why you watch sports. That's what I say. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, especially if you're thinking about a used vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to buy good quality, you know, almost new, like 1, 2, maybe 3 or 4 at most years old. That's what they specialize in. Cars that have a few thousand miles on them, but they're in great shape. Cars that you can trust, you can count on, and if you're like me, you can drive them until they drive them into the ground, which is what I do. And then I look for another one that I can drive for 10 or 15 years and drive it into the ground. And one of the things I would say is when you go look at their big inventory, 300 or so cars, trucks, vans, try them a lot. I mean, really try them. Fiddle with the knobs. I mean, you might think it's a dumb thing, but it's the stuff you don't think to pay attention to that then you have to live with for, you know, however long you have the car. And if you don't like the stereo, you're going to not like the stereo every day. And if you don't like how the climate control works, you're going to not like the climate control every day. So that's why you drive a bunch. That's why you maybe even drive it once and then drive it again just to see if there's questions you forget about to ask or whatever. And if they don't have exactly what you want, they'll go looking for you. No worries. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more tomorrow at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Congratulations, your DiMaggio-like streak for saying nothing even remotely interesting is still alive and well.
So, speaking of porn,
where did that come from?
No, this is a story that I've had on my list for a couple of days now. We've never quite gotten around to it. By the way, have you ever had one of those friends? This is the kind of people I hang out with, who gives you the little like quarter that's made out of wood, and on the front it says TUIT, and then they give that to you, and they say, "Now you've gotten around to it."
Oh no, I've never gotten that one. I am so sorry. Maybe you need to bring one to me.
I have a better caliber friend. No, or worse. I don't know, something. So we have, by the way, the Supreme Court is going to take up this question of age verification for access to porn sites. That's on their docket. They're going to take that up. But like right now in Alabama, you know, apparently they're doing the age verification. And so you've got major pornography vendors who are not doing business in Alabama right now because of this. Sorry. Good for you. I mean, you know, you wake up one day and all of these major online porn purveyors, people who are really making our culture great again. I don't spend a lot of time on this typically, but I mean, you know why porn is bad, right? Like, do you know? I mean, we don't talk about this very much. I used to do a whole week in my ethics classes. We would talk about sexuality and ethics and all the different things related to it. It's, you know, people think it's because it's demeaning or objectifying, and that's true, okay? But it makes it impossible to be satisfied with anything, like, even remotely resembling a real person. Because, you know, comparisons are the killer, and you have this idea in your head of, you know, what somebody would be like, and they're not even like that in real life. That's just, like, the best possible airbrushed version of them. And nobody behaves like that in real life. Nobody looks like that in real life. And yet when you have this easy access to something that is, you know, all on your terms, entirely selfish, based on a fantasy, versus, you know, a real person who lives and breathes and gets headaches and, you know, sometimes is smelly and has bad hair. And, you know, it's very, very hard to be satisfied with anybody who doesn't live up to that fantasy. Just one small reason why. And it's obviously objectifying and demeaning to the subject of the pornography, because you're saying that, you know, real people are not good enough. By the way, you know, the old expression about porn is that it is too shallow and that it shows too much, right? Porn shows too little, because what you have is a real person with goals and dreams and values and history and interests and character and a sense of humor and an intelligence. And it reduces that person to this very selfish presentation of something that's completely the opposite of love. And it shows you only that one little slice of them. There you go. There's your 2-minute tutorial on why porn is bad for relationships. 8:56 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens got traffic for us. John?
I want to sign up for the class now.
No, I used to do a week, three hours.
Right.
You know, we would talk about porn, we talk about premarital sex, we talk about cohabitation, we talk about homosexuality, we talk about all of that stuff, and dating, and how to figure out find a marriage partner and all that kind of stuff. So it was fun. I miss teaching.
I can tell.
Yeah, I know. I love to teach at heart. I really do love to teach. Anyway, go ahead, John. Tell them about traffic.
Well, we've got a vehicle crash with a roadblock on Navarre Parkway, a.k.a. 98 and Newport Street. They've got the both lanes blocked right now, so just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly, not seeing any issues. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, John. So that's your takeaway, is don't be against porn because it shows too much. Be against porn because it shows too little. It lies about what a human being is. That's what it does. 8:57 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? We haven't really talked about this at all, and I guess it's my apology for it, but this story with the local doctor in Gulf Breeze, who's, you know, now getting charged for connection to the deaths of the opioids that she prescribed, is the allegations, right? And now, not just her, but like, 9 or 10 other people connected to that, with all various kinds of, you know, doctor shopping and racketeering and all of this stuff. This is a really, really interesting turn of affairs, because I don't think this has happened very often before. But if we might start to see more of, I mean, it's a little bit the horse is out of the barn, right? It's, you know, we're way down the road of all of this stuff with opioids. But man, that it's the right approach. I mean, how many people would we have hooked on opioids if we hadn't had pill mills and doctors, you know, misprescribing them? If we hadn't had the, and, you know, all these lawsuits about the opioids and the Sackler family and all of this stuff. I mean, how many people profiteering massive billions of dollars off of this stuff at the expense of individual lives that have now been destroyed because people get hooked on these drugs because they were overprescribed or easily prescribed or misprescribed or whatever. So, a little bit more accountability in the medical profession. And there are so many very, very good doctors, but the so many very bad ones really ruin it. And they don't even have to be that many, but enough of them that, you know, ruin it for everybody. I'm glad to see the prosecutions happening. I hope there are more. I hope there are more in this direction, you know, with other doctors who might be found similarly responsible if they can make the case stick. And look, obviously these cases have to go to court and you have to decide them with the processes that are there to protect the innocent. But the general concept of what's going on here. I completely support it. 437-1620, one of the strongest storms in history. Teeny tiny little eye, very, very low pressure, rapid formation yesterday. And, John, we're still expecting it to get back to a Category 5 today before it starts to shear off, before it gets to landfall later. Oh, by the way, the governor yesterday lifted tolls not here. So the tolls that were lifted were all in, like, central Illinois. So your Garson Point Bridge and your Bob Sykes Bridge still have to pay a toll. Still here. They were not lifted here.
Central Florida.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.